We have news this morning of a new Ebola case in New York City. And with that in mind, I'd like to welcome Matt Mayer. Matt is a chief operating officer at the Liberty Foundation, also used to work with Homeland Security. And Matt, with all this Ebola in the news over the last 3-4 weeks, particular to this country, it got you to thinking that really we are vulnerable to some kind of attack with Ebola. Tell me what prompted that and how vulnerable are we?
Well, you know, Ebola is not as communicable as some of the other viruses out there and biological weapons that could potentially come our way. And so when you see the response so far that's been pretty inept, what it shows you is we're just not ready. And if something far more communicable, airborne, something that comes when somebody isn't showing signs and they can communicate the disease, we'd be in a lot more trouble given what we know the spread of the disease could be.
When you look at that, I guess I jump right to how likely is that? How likely would a terror group be to basically weaponize a virus? We really haven't done that a lot in our humanity's history.
No, we haven't. But if you recall, earlier this summer, they found a laptop in the Middle East that ISIS had, where on it they had really done a whole lot of work in how to weaponize some biological agents. So there is always a high intent by terrorist organizations and you know, despots and dictators to use chemical and biological weapons. So it's not something that could be far-fetched, but even more realistic is Mother Nature throws stuff our way all the time. You know, 100 years ago we had the influenza outbreak in 1915 to 1918 that took a whole lot of people out. And so if we get some type of superbug or any other type of just basic good old-fashioned virus that Mother Nature throws at us, we're not ready.
Matt Mayer from the Liberty Foundation of America, our guest. Matt, when you see that, is it because I hear a lot of people when it comes to the Ebola conversation, they just like, we don't trust the government. For me, it's never really been a governmental issue as much as a medical or hospital issue. And to this point, with now the third case announced, it feels like we've done a pretty okay job at keeping that at bay.
Well, again, Ebola is one that can be kept at bay. But what worries me is, from the governmental side, is the whole inability to have identified the protocols that are going to be put in place immediately when this stuff happens. And you know, we did this 10 years ago when I was at the department and was in charge of a program called Top Off 3, which was a full-scale exercise where we did pneumatic plague. And we went through this very kind of exposure, quarantining, dealing with word well, communicating between state, local, federal government agencies, making sure the public was aware. And we knew there were going to be issues, so these are things that should have been worked on and ironed out over the last decade that haven't been. On the healthcare side of the fence, again, your concern is right. What we're seeing is hospitals aren't trained for this. We don't have the pre-identified places where we know this is going to, hey, this is where we're going to treat. We're going to make sure the staff there is ready. We know what protocols to follow, so we don't have our healthcare staff that are trying to do the Lord's work exposed to these agents and becoming problems themselves. When the nurse in Dallas gets on the plane here to Ohio, again, same concept. Why is she getting on a plane? Why is the CDC, where's the protocol that would have allowed them to say, no, we need you to kind of remain in place so that we don't have any potential spread?
Former senior official with Homeland Security, Matt Mayer. Matt, tell me this. When you've done that game planning, the top off three where you tested federal, state, and local response, did you ever really bear down on Columbus? Columbus, we know economically, is pretty solid, but would we be vulnerable because of that? If there were some kind of terrorist action, would we maybe be high on the list of where a place to get that started because, you know, we do have it pretty good here?
Columbus has been always on the kind of edge of the risk factor, so it's not one of the higher risks because it's not a big, big, big city. The densities aren't as intense as you have in places like Los Angeles, New York, Chicago. But the bigger issue is with whether it's Mother Nature or it's a biological agent that's weaponized, the problem we face is the spread, given modern travel and population densities, is it will spread far faster than what we saw, let's say, 100 years ago with the influenza pandemic that broke out during World War I.
Right.
And so that's the concern, is that when we tested this and modeled, because what we had then is we did a pneumatic plague exposure in New Jersey on the rail line. And so you had people then heading to New York City, down to Philly, going to Newark Airport, getting on airplanes. And it was amazing how rapidly you saw the spread of the virus all over the country, and then of course if there are international flights all over, and that's where Columbus would get hit. Not in an intentional way, but in the just pure spread of the virus.
Yeah, well, I guess that's why so many people talk about limiting travel. Fascinating, as always, Matt Mayer. He's the COO at the Liberty Foundation of America.